goes to some.
We've been going through, as a church, we've been going through the letter of 1 John, and that's found on the end of the New Testament. It's different from what's known as the Gospel of John, which is sort of the biography of Jesus' life. Same author, John, one of Jesus' earliest and closest disciples, and he's written a few letters as well to the early church. 1 John. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to start at number 7. And just to turn there, as you turn there, just pray. Father God, we thank you for your presence with us. I'm just like the same. Thank you for the Holy Spirit's power and the Holy Spirit's presence with us. The Holy Spirit which gives us anointing, the Holy Spirit which causes us to give thanks to you. We pray for mutual encouragement continuing. We pray that as we look into your scripture right now, Lord, speak to us and speak to us together. Let's find mutual encouragement together, one another together. We thank you for your promise and your desire to do so. And we are holding you. Amen. The title of this message, if you know, is How to Become a Person of Love Like God Is. I think some of us struggle with how to be a loving person, or perhaps we doubt that we can become a loving person. Maybe being a loving person is not really a strength for you. And related to that, a big subject we're going to talk about is what do you really mean when we talk about the love of God. We sing about it, we talk about it, and we just want to be as precise and accurate as possible when we're talking about love and love. That's what we're going to be looking at in 1 John chapter 4. So let's start with verse 7. John begins this passage saying, Beloved, he's addressing the church, Beloved. Beloved, that is people who are loved, beloved, beloved. So hear that, in some ways it's important. Beloved, we're talking to you, beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. That's actually a very beautiful sentence or clause. Beloved, let us love one another. That's basically the gospel of Christ, or the teaching of Jesus, especially in John.
Yeah,
you are love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. I'm going to read those two verses one more time. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Remember, we're talking about the church here. John is writing a letter to the church, people who believe in Christ, trying to assure them, trying to encourage them, trying to affirm who they are because of God. So he's not talking about humanity generally. So he's talking about them. So before we jump to if a person is sort of a loving person, does that mean they're basically a Christian? Or if this person is not a loving person, does that mean they're not a Christian? I guess that's a bigger question that I don't think this chapter actually addresses. We're really talking about the church. Verse 9 is going to be, in this the love of God is being manifest among us. So God sent his only Son into the world, that's Jesus, so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Just a repeat of verse 7. And for now, I'm just going to skip ahead to verse 19. We'll go back to verses 12 through 18. That's a little section in itself. But just for now, let's skip ahead to verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Anyone says, I love God, and he is his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he does not see. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So I'm just going to break this message down into three parts. So first, how to become a person of love. The first step is receive love from outside yourself. So number one, receive love from outside yourself. And then specifically talking about God. You are loved. God calls you to love it. And this love is in you, so you can love others the same way. Receive love from outside of yourself. And I think there are three very common alternatives to finding the love from God, love outside of yourself. And I think the first one is finding love within yourself. First is finding love within yourself. And I think that's actually pretty conventional wisdom for us today. That in order to love others, you first need to love yourself. I'm sure we've all heard that before. The first person you gotta love is yourself. You're the one who loves yourself first. It starts internally with you. I don't know if you're going to introduce yourself. Let's go to that. So, all the people, you know, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. That's a word. Some of us haven't seen that before. There's a class in elementary school. Anyway, there's other stuff, right? Before you learn. When you're all alone, do you like you? Do you like you? You don't have to try so hard. You don't have to change the limits or anything. You don't have to try. So I think about, and especially, look, this is a beautiful statement, you know, it's conventional wisdom, but it makes a lot of sense. You know, I think about this artist from the early 1980s, I guess, would be some time, before that, but this guy did a version of this, and he was big in the 80s, like, art scene, and like, really excited. He had this interview where he talked about accepting the socially unacceptable parts of his life. Like, he was gay, he was a high school dropout, he was a teenage prostitute, he contracted AIDS. But he was talking about how taking these unacceptable parts of his life as parts of him that made him special. So he says, he spent all my life, I looked at the world with a longing to be accepted, but the only way I could be accepted would be to deny those things. At the moment of diagnosis of AIDS, I fully gave up that desire to fit in and started realizing that those places where I didn't fit and the ways I was rehearsed were the most interesting parts of myself. And I think there's something really beautiful to that self-acceptance. And furthermore, conventional wisdom, the wisdom that's sort of common to us in our culture, says that you can love yourself because you deserve to be loved. So think about the ways you're an interesting person. Think about the ways you're a good person. But this is the thing. This is actually very hard. Even though we can sing about it and sell very catchy pop tunes, this is actually very hard. I think sometimes on a good day, yeah, we could do it. It's a little easier. Because one of the biggest issues for a person or for a society that does not really believe in or recognize a God who judges us. If there's no God who judges us, then we are our own judges. But the problem with that is we actually tend to be very harsh judges with ourselves. We're very exacting judges. You know, sometimes we're arbitrary in our judgments. And it's very, very hard, especially I think for many of us in this room, to live up to our own expectations. To live up to our own ideals for ourselves, the ideal me. I think that's actually probably in part why social media can be psychologically very hard to live with. I mean, not living with other people's posts. I'm talking about living with our own posts. Because we can't live up to that sort of ideal self we're projecting out there on Facebook or whatever, or in life in general. Because I know we as a society, we as individuals, because we are left to be judges of ourselves and we're harsh judges, we deal with a lot of inner shame. And that's why these songs appeal to us and they give us hope. Like, oh, maybe I don't have to try. Maybe I am just beautiful as I am. Because our own voice is telling us the opposite. And judging ourselves is very hard. But
But Christ teaches us that we love first out of being loved by God. Listen to verse 9 and 10 and 8. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. We love, he says in verse 9, because he first loved us. It's according to Jesus, it's not actually loving yourself first that's most effective. It's actually being loved by God, our Creator, and our Judge. It's just good that we don't judge us and ourselves. It's good news. God wanted to take redemptive action in our life. The second common alternative is not finding love within yourself, actually finding love from outside of yourself, but basing that love on what we can do or achieve. And I think this also works to some degree, but it's very elusive. No matter how much you achieve, actually. And in fact, the more you achieve, the more elusive it can be. Now, a lot of men have been taught to find love is good. A lot of men are pressured. To find love from outside yourself through people noticing what you do, what you produce. I think men anyway, but I think especially men have been kind of trained this way. And I think sometimes you have unloved young men who do really stupid things, criminal things, because they're looking for love and respect from outside themselves. Someone to notice them. When a person, and I think again, this is a way that our culture has trained men especially, when a person pursues wealth or achievement, title, things other people will see, it's in part to gain love. And these things actually do get you love and respect, they do. But again, the thing is, if that's the well out of which you get love and out of which you can give love to others, you're going to be dry a lot of time because this kind of success, this recognition of what you do, they're elusive things. And that's why we pray. That's why we humble break. That's why we just straight up break. That's why we flashy ask some people to sing. Because people don't notice otherwise. Our success is up and down. Like, we'll win some, but we'll lose a lot. I think in that way, sports is sort of a metaphor for life. I'm a huge sports fan. Like, it's mostly misery. Like, one part, except for like the Patriots. It's like once every 30 years you win. So the rest of the 29 is just misery. Every season is failure. That's my dream major in the line. That's hilarious. Once every year just set. that's the case. You know, success is actually very elusive. Sometimes when we gain success, like the most successful of us, find that satisfaction very elusive. Wealth is especially uncertain. This is according to the scripture, like financial security, that term financial security is an oxymoron. It's actually not very secure. It doesn't actually make you secure as a person either. Here's a third alternative. You find a love from outside yourself, from someone or from people whose love is unconditional. And this is actually not a good concept. Really, I think that speaking of sports, I think of athletes who have a real kids. And then I heard one talk about their kids and how they love coming to their kids. Because they say, no matter how I did, how I feel, when I come home, my kids love me. You don't have any kids. But my kids just love me. Yeah, because it's an experience of unconditional love. I think people who feel, on the other side, like children, older people, even as adults, when we feel like our parents support us no matter what, and no matter our sexuality, no matter our career choices, no matter this or that, and we feel our parents' support, that's really beautiful, it's really powerful. I just actually, this past week, I met a person. He's a young guy, he's a pastor, and he's thinking about going to seminary. And his parents, I think he said, my parents have been looking into seminaries for me. I said, oh, did they just become Christians and do consider themselves a Christian? Yeah, no, no, my parents are not Christian, but they're real support. I'm just, and that's really beautiful. I guess some of you have Christian parents. Anyway, but, this is beautiful and it's powerful. But what we see, I think, when we read scripture, that is that this kind of love, like the love, the unconditional kind of love that you feel at times from your parents or your kids or a friend or whatever it might be, whoever it might be, these kinds of love, these are reflections, intentionally or unintentionally, of God's love. And these reflections, though, have their limits too. But the love that they reflect, the love that they are pointing to, is a limitless love of God, an unconditional, limitless love of God. The Psalms actually say, "Though my father and mother forsake me," I'm saying that's not likely, but it's possible. Even though my own father and mother forsake me, the Lord will never forsake me. I'm just going to read 1 John 4, 9, and 10. In this, the love of God is being manifest among us. That God sent his only Son to the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. We love because he first loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The cross of Jesus, the cross on which Jesus died and gave himself a sacrifice for us, is why we say that God is loving and forgiving. That's why we say that God isn't just cruel or arbitrary, because we see the cross. And that's why we say that the love of God is not conditioned. That's why we say that the love of God doesn't depend on our actions toward him. It was never our initiative in the first place. Love isn't about how much I can love God and be loved in return. The Christian faith, the formula that love works under, is God loves first. God takes the initiative. It doesn't matter what you do. It's not about how much or how little you love. God first loves you. And with that love, we love. When talking to people over the years about my faith in Christ, I found myself saying more than once, something like, I have friends and I have parents who I can say really love me. I can say they've lost and say they really love me. But in God, I found love that is somehow even better. And, I think sometimes Christians think conversion stories have to be really dramatic or sort of like everything that's terrible is going on in Jesus kind of deal. But a story that involves having a lot of love in your life, and then finding God, whose love, those other love we're pointing to. That's a very good story. It's a very Bible-y story. It's a very Christian conversion story. I said I was going to have three points. One, I want you to become a person of love first. Find a love outside yourself. Find a love outside yourself. Find a love in God. His love is limitless. Show that to us. Number two, very simply, love others with the same kind of love God has shown you. And again, what is love? I mean, we can define love in many ways. We can say it's affection, it's protection, it's many things. But here, I think John gives us sort of the essence of a Christian understanding of love. And what Christian love is sacrifice. It's sacrificing something good for yourself for the good of someone else. That's basically what sacrifice is. It's giving up something good for something better. And specifically, it's giving up something good for yourself for something better for someone else. And John, generally, in his writings, captures it in two pictures. And the two clearest pictures of this that John uses are one, Jesus washing his disciples' feet, even though he is our master. And then number two, Jesus shamefully dying on the cross so he is innocent. That is a sacrifice. That is a love that Jesus shows us. You can be very cause-driven, you can be very cause-driven, but that isn't the same as love one has. I think you can be very cause-driven, even for the gospel of Jesus, or what you say you are, and not put others above yourself. And that's why there are Christians out there so sure that God loves them, and so sure that God wants them to be supremely happy and have their dream fulfilled and whatnot, that they do unethical and unfair and unkind things to other people as they try to get there. They say they're devoted to the cause of Christ, but you can do that without the love of Christ on this world. 1 Corinthians 13 says the same thing, that if I give everything I can to the poor, if I become a martyr, but then if I don't have love, and that's actually a possibility, I don't have love. If I don't treat people as if they're more important than I am, then I'm doing nothing. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. I think we can be very tolerant. We can be positive, we can be very tolerant. That's the same thing as love by God. The tolerance is great, especially when it comes from humility and treating people like you want to be treated. I mean, that's great. I mean, Jesus talks about that too. Actually, I'm going to read Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it's really quick. Luke reports Jesus saying, as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. That's what's called the golden rule. But then this is the thing. Jesus continues, so 6:32, he continues, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners, like a lot of people who don't know God, love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, get paid back by, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But verse 35 says, love your enemies and do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. We talked about that in the last few weeks, about 1 John 3 and 4, how it talks about how we are like our Father. We have that same DNA. So what the Father does, we do too. And the way the Father loves, we find ourselves loving the same way. It's just DNA. It's not even a matter of effort. It's just that's what we are. And this is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. It's not just about the golden rule. Anybody can do the golden rule. But true children of God, if you want to be like your Father, if you want to resemble your Father, be kind to people who can't be kind back to you, who won't be kind back to you. Be loving to people who are not easy for you to love. You can be very tolerant, but tolerance is not the same as love like this. Because love like this is given to people like the other ones who are tolerant. And this is why I think healthy churches can tend to be pretty mocky. Because the people there, and the community there, where people are loving, they're not necessarily easy for them to love. And being Christian is basically giving love like our Father gave us, sacrificially, to people who don't know us. Remember, it's not the way for someone else to make the first move. A lot of times, get married and ask me to officiate. This is what I'll say. This is what I'll say. And a lot of times, we treat our religious at 50-50, but it has to do with our religious. And so basically, I do this for you, you do this for me. You wash dishes, and I will do the laundry. You are next to me, I'll be next to you. If you need to me, then I can be mean to you. If you don't do what I need, then I don't want to do what you need. And we think that that's sort of wrong. But what God shows us is a different way of doing things. And specifically, the first part of the relationship with us. And the first says, no matter what we do, I will always be my best friend. That's basically what he's saying when he's hanging on the cross. He's hanging on the cross, he says, no matter what you do, I will always be my best friend. And we will love you, I am God. And that's a model for us. That's a model for our relationship with God. That's actually a model for our relationship with one another. That's a kind of loving others that Jesus demonstrated in the first John that he's talking about. Lastly, it's when you want to find the love from outside yourself. It's not enough to find it with it. It's too hard to find it with it. Just find the love from outside yourself. Number two, with that love coming from outside yourself, you find from God, and specifically from Jesus. Love what people are saying there. And you're going to create some emotions like the love of others as powerful. It's really deep, beautiful, powerful. That's it. We will go back to verse 12 through 18. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. We're going to see this pattern in the next few verses. God abiding in us, and his love being perfected or made complete as we love. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us of the Spirit. And we have seen and testified. And how do we know that we abide in God? How do we know that God abides in us? Because he's given us the Spirit. And how do we know that we have the Spirit? Verse 14. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him because that's what the Holy Spirit does. If you remember earlier in chapter 4, we talked about this last Sunday. This is verse 2, actually, of chapter 4. It says, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Whoever does not confess Jesus is not from God. And so how do you know that you have the Holy Spirit in you? You know that you say that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe what Jesus has done. And God abides in you. Verse 16, you have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We have this God abiding in us when we love. This is love perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is so also are we. Sorry, because as he is so also are we in this world. So here's the idea. There's this dance of three things. It's us confessing that Jesus is the Lord through the Holy Spirit. It's us loving one another. And this fifth thing is God building us. And first John says, as these three things go together, and they do go together, you know, so people, as we have these three things and sort of this dance, God's love is actually made complete. That it is an invisible God and visible people. That gap is going to help. Verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Love fears have not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. There's no fear in love, perfect love casts out fear. This life of loving other people has effects. First, John says that our loving each other like this pulls that distance between invisible and God. Visible us and an invisible God. It brings us near to God and brings God near to us. And a lot of times when we think about bridging heaven and earth, bridging us and God, we think of activities like prayer. I'm just going to pray to God. I pray all day, I'll just be so close to God, which is great. But here John's saying, I don't need all the people, it's not Christian. We know that people are the way God knows us. And it's not a 50-50 relationship. And he's giving regardless of what we're doing. That's actually really cool. It's a complete connection with God. And second, John says that loving others in this way confirms what we are. It shows that we belong to God, that we are vindicated when God comes to judge. Yeah, and that makes sense to me, because I think to be loving like this, you know, it really requires being forgiven. It really requires being forgiven. It will require heaven's work. It's a secret history that only God knows. And maybe a few people, a history of endurance, a history of swallowing hurts, a history of giving up on good things. And we have that fear on that good thing. We know that we have Son. We know that Christ Jesus is Son of God, and Lord of all eyes, and that He deserves to do that, so we can love Him. I'll just repeat that first phrase of this passage one more time. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. You know what you are. Beloved, let us love one another. I'm just going to leave it for a few minutes to think about two words I need to pray about as we close this sermon and as we continue our worship. First, ready to receive God's love. And just like those athletes come home and receive unconditional love and their work is. So like some people with their parents can see the unconditional support. Just ready to receive God's love. Remember His cross. Remember His cross. Remember His cross. Remember what He's basically saying is, you know, I'm not always going to bless you. It's not how you treat me. It's never been that way. You have walked. You have beloved. And then second, say that people around you, colleagues, friends, family. Think about times they are not unlovable, maybe you're crying. You're not here loving. Ask yourself before you go, how can I love them this week? In the way that God loved them, treated them back from them. Let's go on those two lines. Please take a moment. Please take a moment on those two lines. First,